Led by the Spirit. We've talked about that a good bit, and we've done it, a lot of it, from the book of Romans, as we've looked at what it means to be led by the Spirit. Well, you would say, well, why would I exactly want to be led by the Spirit? That sounds a little bit too religious, or maybe too creepy for me. What do you mean, led by the Spirit? I heard a man say on television not too long ago, a preacher talking about a friend of his who preached in Manhattan in New York City. And he said, this preacher has a church in New York City, and he said when 9/11 happened, back in the towers were brought down by a terrorist, he said this pastor told me that he had several people who worked in that trade center. He worked in the Twin Towers. Had several people in his church work there. And the preacher said, the one living in New York said, all of my people avoided that. I had been teaching, he said, for a long time, on how to be led by the Spirit, and a lot of my people in my church were in those towers. They worked there, and he said, because of them listening and relying on God, he said they didn't. None of them got killed in that attack. He said some of them didn't even go into work that day. One man, one of his members, said, I got up that morning. I thought, you know, I haven't taken my daughter to school in a long time. We haven't talked. I'm going to call in, take the morning off, and I want to take my daughter, instead of putting her on the school bus, I'm going to drive her to school. It just seemed like a good idea to him. Drive her to school, and we'll talk on the way to school. So he avoided it. Many others avoided it. Now, I don't know if you believe that or not, but if you look at the man's website, I don't have it handy right now, but I've looked at his church website, and that story's on there. Led by the Spirit might get you out of a whole lot of trouble. Led by the Spirit might make your marriage go better. Led by the Spirit might mean you avoid some terrible things that could be headed your way. Led by the Spirit might mean that you just have a happier life. You're led into the fruit of the Spirit, which is a great thing. Led by the Spirit. If you think you are supremely intelligent enough to micromanage your own life and nothing ever go wrong, then go ahead. But most of us would say, I need some help. Life tends to get squishy sometimes. Life tends to get nerve-wracking sometimes, and I need some help. And so being led by the Spirit, I think, is a valid idea because the Bible talks about it quite a bit. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, you'll see it talked about a good bit here. So I put up here on one of these slides here, I think it's the first one or the second one, Easter Resurrection Day celebrates Jesus coming back, from the dead by the Holy Spirit. Now that's wonderful, but how does that help me? How does his resurrection help me? How does that help me, you know, when I'm about to lose my job? How does that help me when I've got a terrible problem going on? We're going to look into that. How does that help me? If I put this up here, if the resurrected Lord lives in you by the Holy Spirit, if the resurrected Jesus, who is at the right hand of the Father right now, a man like us, a part of mankind, a human being like us, he's the only one in heaven like that. You say, well, my grandma went to heaven. Yeah, but her body's on earth somewhere. Jesus went to heaven in his body. That body was raised. That body was resurrected and glorified to be like God. And now he's there at the right hand of the Father. And since he is there and he's been raised and he's in that situation, if he, by the Holy Spirit, the resurrected Lord, lives in you, there are four things. We're going to talk about four things that follow from that idea. If he's in you by his Holy Spirit, then number one, you aren't controlled by the flesh. You aren't controlled by the flesh anymore. And that is in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, the very first part of that verse. You, however, are controlled not by the flesh, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Would you like something other than your own appetites to control you? We have a massive problem in America, maybe in the world, with addiction. All kinds of addictions, alcohol, drugs, sex, even food. Addictions. What's an addiction? Something's in control of me. Then I don't want it to be, I don't necessarily want it to be there, but it's there. I don't know how many people I've talked to who've had drug addictions who keep saying, I want to get off. I don't want this. But what happens? Well, I just go right back into it. Why? Because it's controlling you. Your flesh is controlling you. But this says, if the Spirit of God dwelling in me, since he lives in us, we're born again people, you have the Holy Spirit in you, he being in you means you're not controlled by the flesh anymore. You don't have to be. Earlier on, when Paul wrote in chapter 7 of Romans, he talked about this issue that's just fascinating. It's funny almost in some ways, because Paul said, here's Paul the apostle, and he said, well, the law is good. I know God says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Oh, that's good. It's wonderful. But he said, I can't do it. The law is spiritual, he said, but I'm not. And I have a struggle with this. We all do, don't we? We have a struggle. And so Paul said, the very thing I want to do, I don't do it. The very thing I know I shouldn't do and don't want to do, I seem to stumble right into that one. I said one time in a sermon, I don't know if it was here or somewhere else, but I said, we all have those little projects at home, don't we, that we've started and haven't finished. And some woman toward the front, she gave her husband one of those elbows, you know. He must have had a bunch of them, you know. Paul said, I want to do this, the right thing. Never can quite seem to get that done. I don't want to do this, like an addiction. I don't want to do this, but here I am again. Here I am again. I saw a lady, I guess it was in the mall somewhere. She had a t-shirt on. And the t-shirt said, Lord, it's me again. Evidently, she's going to God in prayer over these things. You know, Lord, it's me again. I'm back again. So Paul said, the thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, that's what I stumble into. And then he coined this idea of the law or the principle, like the law of gravity, of a principle of sin and death. Sin and death. Sin and death is a principle in the Bible. That is, since we're in flesh, the flesh is very weak and susceptible to sin, to doing the wrong thing. Jesus even told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, the Spirit is willing. But you know the rest of it, don't you? The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. So if the resurrected Lord is in you, then you are not controlled by the flesh. You say, but I still feel like it. That's because you haven't decided that you're born as a different person. Let me put it to you this way. You have to die and be born again. A baby in the mother's womb has to die to the womb to live life. Isn't that true? So if you're still in the womb and you're not born anew and and Jesus is not your Lord, then you're still stuck in that sort of situation where you have to die to the flesh and you have to say, I want to live for Jesus. I want to do what he wants me to do, and I want the Holy Spirit to lead me in that. So if the Holy Spirit, it's all about the prayer. It's all about saying, Lord, I just surrender to you. I just need your help. I'll admit it. We've all had to. If you're born again, you had to come to that point, didn't you? You had to say, Lord, I need you. I just need some help. I can't manage my own life. Somebody's got to help me. So if the Spirit, the first thing we find in Romans 8 is if the Spirit is with you, the Spirit is in you, you're not controlled by the flesh. Number two, if the Spirit is in you, you belong to Jesus. If the Spirit is in you, you belong to Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, second part of that verse. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. I like the original Greek language. It's almost funny there. It says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, same as the Holy Spirit, right? If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, this one is not his. It's kind of like you've been through a DNA test. No, that's not my baby. So the Greek literally says, if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, then this one is not his. You're not his. So how do I know I have the Spirit or not? If you have accepted Christ, I'm going to just quote you this, not on the screen or any of that, but if you think about Acts chapter 2, 38, chapter 2, verse 38, for those people, the first gospel sermon, nobody had ever heard it from Jesus, but after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, these people gathered there to hear the apostles preach because they heard them speaking in different languages, and they began to preach, and Peter got up and preached, and he said, you are the very crowd that crucified Jesus. You're the very ones that crucified Jesus. And he preached them a little sermon there, and they got upset, and they said, what do we have to do about this? They were cut to the heart and said, what do we need to do? And he said, repent. What does that mean? Change your direction. You've been unbelievers up to now. You need to change your mind, change your direction, and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. And then he goes on to say, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know anything about the Holy Spirit, and you've accepted Christ, are you willing to do that? And all you know is that one verse that says, okay, if I accept Jesus, I'm baptized, I get the gift of the Holy Spirit. You got to stand on those verses. You got to say, I know I have the Holy Spirit. How do you know? Because the Bible said so. Amen. Just start with that. Jesus loves me, this I know. What's the rest of it? Because the Bible tells me so. That's not scripture, but it's a scriptural idea, isn't it? How do you know you're saved? How do you know you have eternal life? How do you, as a Christian, how do you know you have eternal life? How do you know you have the Holy Spirit? How do you know you're being led by the Spirit? Because the Bible says so. Isn't that good enough? Can I get an amen on that one? You just have to say, I read it. It says it. And that's what's reality in my life. I do have the Spirit of God. He lives in me because Jesus promised me that right here in this word. And I stand on it. You may not have funny feelings. You may not have chills running up your back. You may not be speaking in tongues. You may not be falling to the floor. You may not be running around the church. You may not be hanging from chandeliers, which we don't have any anyway, but the manifestations don't prove anything if it doesn't say it in the Word. If it says it in the Word, you have it. What do I have? The Spirit of God living in me. So if I have the Spirit living in me, I'm not controlled by the flesh, number one. If I have the Spirit of God living in me, what is the rest of it? What is number two there? I belong to Jesus. What does that mean, I belong to Jesus? We all know what that means if somebody tries to break into your car and steal it because you said, that's my car, it belongs to me. I pay the notes on it, I have the title on it, I have the loan papers, it's my car, my truck, you can't take it. Jesus, when you come into Christ and he puts the Spirit of God in you, you belong to him. You've been bought with a price, the Bible says. Glorify God in your body there. Let your body be following the Spirit so you're glorifying Jesus. You belong to him. He owns you, lock, stock, and barrel. You don't have a choice anymore. You're dead. You're dead to the world. And you're alive to Christ. You signed on in an army. You say, I don't remember doing that. Yes, you did. You signed on in the army of the Lord, and you have to take orders. You have to say, yes, sir, whatever you want me to do. A lot of Christians are wandering all off away from what Jesus wants us to do because we don't have that mindset. We don't have that mindset that he's in charge. We don't have that mindset Jesus is Lord. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that. So he's boss. He owns you. You say, well, I don't think I want that. That's fine. You have a choice. I don't think I want Jesus to be that much part of my life. I don't want him invading my life like that. You have a choice. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to believe any of this. You don't have to do any of it. It's a choice. It's a choice. Even God will not make you love him. He's not that kind of God. But once you do, and once you accept his terms, and once you say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be glorified in the resurrection to be just like God, just like Jesus. I want to look like Jesus when I get in the resurrection. If you want that, he says, okay. Then my Spirit comes into your heart. My Spirit comes into your life. Then you belong to me. You belong to me. There's a passage in Ephesians. I'm not going to read it to you, but it says that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. You can write it down and read it later. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. We have been sealed for the day of redemption. You ever been behind an 18-wheeler that's got the doors back there and they've got seals on that door? There's something in there. They don't want anybody to just walk in and take it. So they seal it up so that when the truck gets to its destination, the people that are receiving the cargo will say, well, nobody's been in there. Nobody's tampered with it. That's our stuff. Jesus put a seal on you, and that seal is called the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with him. So when the devil looks at you, he trembles. When the devil looks at a Christian, remember what the Bible says? If you resist the devil, what does he do? He leaves. You got to put up a fight, though. He's persistent. He doesn't quit. He keeps coming, and it keeps coming, and it keeps coming, and you keep resisting, and you keep resisting, and he has no second choice. No, he has no plan B. Because once you resist, he has to leave. Why? Because you belong to Jesus. I talked to a missionary years ago who had been in Ghana for a long time, and he told me he had talked to a lot of people lived out in the bush, and he talked to one man that was a witch doctor, had been a witch doctor or shaman, if you want to call it. That's more politically correct, I guess. He said this man had converted to Christianity. He had been a pagan witch doctor, converted to Christianity. And I said, I interviewed him for a couple of hours, talked to him. I was curious about what he'd do when he was a witch doctor. He said, I offered sacrifices. He said, when I was 6 years old, my father died, and he was the shaman of the village, so they said, you got to be it now. He said, the mantle fell on me. And he said, I used to go offer sacrifices at the tree. That was a certain tree they worshipped. And he said, I'd offer a sacrifice and it would disappear. People would come to me, want me to put curses on people. I could put curses on people. He said, so I grew up doing that sort of thing. But he converted to Christianity later. And he told my friend, this missionary, he said, Dan, he told me that when I was in that pagan world and in that world of witchcraft and all that stuff, we could tell who the Christians were. Just by looking at people walking through the marketplace. Dan said, well, how could you tell? How could you tell which ones were the Christians? He said, there was a light sort of a thing kind of over their head. He said, I don't mean the churchgoers, I mean the real Christians. There was a light over it. It reminded me when Dan said that, I thought, that sounds like a halo, doesn't it? Where'd the idea of a halo come from? Oh, you got to be perfect to get one. No, you don't have to be perfect to get one. You have to be a follower of Jesus, and he puts his spirit in you. I think what these people were seeing was the Spirit of God, some kind of manifestation of the Spirit of God. He said, we stayed away from those people. I bet he did. You see, when God puts his spirit in you, you belong to Christ. You don't belong to the devil. We don't have to mess with the devil. If you're filled with the Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, which you do if you're a Christian, you just don't have to put up with that. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to stop attacking. It just means that he's never going to win. He's never going to ultimately. What if he kills me? Does he ultimately win? No. You get to go be with Jesus and start the process of learning a new life. You're going to transition out of this life anyway at some point. Young or old, rich or poor, when you transition out of this life, you start learning a new life in the heavenly realms. See, God's not done with you yet. Even if you die today, God's not done with you yet, is he? So you belong to Jesus. You've been sealed for the day of redemption. Number three, your spirit has been resurrected. Wow, look at Romans 8, verse 10. But if Christ is in you, your body's dead because of sin. These bodies received from Adam and Eve the law of sin and death. They received from Adam and Eve this corruption in our bodies that's going to eventually kill us. The body. But you're not your body. You are a spirit and you live in a body. If you drive a vehicle, I drive an old vehicle that's got 209,000 miles on it. One day it won't work anymore. What do I have to do? Get out of that vehicle, get another one. Your body's the same way. You are a spirit connected to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit. And your body will wear out one day. Or get damaged in an accident or have something happen to it. You can't live in it. You can't drive it anymore. You can't use it anymore. What'll happen? You go into the next world. You go to be with Christ. If you're a Christian, you do. Your spirit in you has been resurrected. Now, what does that mean? Your spirit is no longer under the law of sin and death. Let me give you a quick one since our time's about it. Let me give you a quick one here about what does it mean that your spirit has been resurrected. I'm going to give you, I don't think it's on the screen here, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And see if this doesn't sound like something you want. Body is dying, spirit in you is alive in Christ, because Christ is in here. The outward man, Paul said in one place, the outward man is wasting away day by day. Can I get an amen on that when you look in the mirror in the morning? More damage, right? But the inward man is renewed day by day. Your spirit in Christ and dwelt by the Holy Spirit is alive. Some Christians don't know their spirit is alive. You can see it in their eyes. They don't have that joy. They don't have that. Let me show you what a live spirit looks like. If you say, I don't know if my spirit's alive or not, Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, the what? The fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of an apple tree? Apples. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Your spirit's alive, there's love. Does that mean you're perfect? No. Does that mean you never get mad? No. It just means you operate out of love. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Peace. Anybody need peace? If your spirit's alive, you have peace. Joy. Joy. What's the difference in joy and happiness? Happiness comes and goes. Joy stays there all the time. Joy in this Holy Spirit's there all the time. Now, even if they tell you got cancer, you still have some joy. Even if they tell you you're going to die tomorrow, you still have joy. Your happiness level may come and go, but your joy is still there. If your spirit is alive, you got joy. That doesn't mean you're always running around grinning and laughing and slapping people on the back. It just means there's this little constant little light burning in there that's just joy. It's just, I'm content. I'm happy where I am. I'd like to improve this. I'd like to improve that. I'm going to improve this. I need a better job. I need a better house, whatever it is, but there's joy. Love, joy, peace, patience. Patience doesn't just mean waiting in the doctor's office. The Greek word for patience is the ability to stand up under a load. Have you seen an NFL football player? 300 pounds. There are guys like that now in the NFL. 300 pounds and can chase running backs down. Did they get that sitting in a recliner? What have they done? Weights, exercise, workout. The word patience means standing up under the load. No weightlifter ever gets strong by not standing under the load. So when the devil tries to put a load on you, you say, but I've got patience. What does that mean? I've got the ability to stand up under what he throws at me. Well, where do I get that? The Spirit lives in me. He's leading me. Patience. Kindness. Kindness is a foreign concept to a lot of people today. Right? I mean, you make some little traffic mistake and somebody's going to cuss you out good. Have a little kindness. You go to a store and the person waits on you and you're rude to them because you're in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. I got to get out of here. The Spirit's in you. If your spirit is alive, you're going to have more patience. You're going to have more kindness. Marriages fail because of lack of kindness. You're just not even civil to each other, not kind to each other. You just take them for granted. I can talk to you anyway because I got that piece of paper. Guess what? They can get out of that piece of paper, can't they? Kindness. If your spirit's alive, you have a lot of kindness in you, and it's not from you. It's that God gave it to you. Goodness. Faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. If your spirit's alive, you got some faith in you. Gentleness. If your spirit's alive, you're going to be a gentle person. Well, if you're too gentle with people, they'll treat you like a doormat. They'll run right over you. So what? So what? Be a gentle person. Be kind to people. Be nice to people. I saw a post the other day. Some boy said, it don't cost nothing to be kind. It really doesn't. He said, but I don't know about that. It's a hard world. You got to be hard. Yeah, if you don't have Christ in you, you better be hard. You're going to mix it up with that hard world, and you're going to live like the rest of the world lives. Go at it. That's being called led by the flesh. I'm not led by the flesh. I'm led by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God teaches me to unlearn some things I learned in childhood, then I have to unlearn those things. Amen. If I have to unlearn some things I learned in the school of hard knocks, I have to unlearn those things and say, but I'm filled with the Spirit, and I'm led by the Spirit now, and I'm not going to be a jerk like that. I'm just going to live by the Spirit, and I'll let God take care of it. If I get taken advantage of, that's up to Jesus. They took advantage of him, didn't they? Terribly so. He said, don't worry about it. My Father will take care of that. If you're filled with the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, your spirit is alive. Your spirit has been resurrected. If it's been resurrected, then there's all these things, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Did you know self-control comes from the Holy Spirit? Self-control. It's terrible when you don't have self-control. You get yourself all geared up, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to do this or that, and that piece of pie just whips you. It's like, you don't have any willpower. I thought I could get by at this time. And somebody said, that's why they put lights in the refrigerator, so we can have a midnight snack. You know, open it up and see what's in there. Yeah, let's eat. If your spirit is alive, what does all this sum up to be? Happiness. A happy life. Doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges. We're not dumb, are we? I mean, we know we're going to have challenges. But if you have the Spirit in you, and the Spirit is leading you, you're going to be a resurrected spirit, which means my spirit is alive. Number four, your body will also be raised. Your body will also be raised. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, where he talks about this idea. Verse 10, he said, but if Christ is in you, your body's dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And verse 11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. What? The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you? Yes. We say, well, I don't feel too much. Oh, I don't feel too much different. I'll give it a little time. It'll happen. You will be that live spirit we just talked about. Your spirit will come alive just like that baby comes out of the womb, dies to the womb, comes to life. And it takes a while for that child to grow, doesn't it? Get a full life going. So give us some time. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. You say, I don't know if that's true. I don't feel like Jesus living in me. Well, wait a minute. You just said it. Can you put your faith in that? Can you say, I read it in the Bible? I don't have to feel anything. If you feel something, that's great. I don't have to feel anything. I just read it in the Bible. I accept it. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will do what? Also give life to your what? Mortal body. You will be raised. Just like Jesus was raised. Give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit. How are you going to be raised? Through his Spirit who lives in you. When he comes to the end of that, he says this in verse 12, which is not part of what I'm going to talk about, but I want you to see this. I want you to see, after talking about all these ways that the Spirit works in us, here's his therefore. What does therefore mean? Application. Here's how you apply it. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh. Has the flesh ever done anything good for you except get you in trouble? You're not obligated to the flesh. The flesh didn't save you. The flesh didn't die on the cross for you. The flesh wasn't resurrected for you, but Jesus was. So I'll put a slide up here, the very last one. I thought it was pretty neat. It's a quotation from Galatians chapter 5. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. How do you keep in step with the Spirit? Well, a good place to start is with his Bible. See, he wrote this. The Spirit of God wrote this. So if you have absolutely no interest, if you have absolutely no interest in this book, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to be led by the Spirit. You're going to be led by your fantasies. You're going to be led by can be led by your flesh. So keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit of resurrection. The Spirit of resurrection is the Spirit of the resurrected Lord living in you and causing your spirit to be alive and vital and powerful through the power of the Holy Spirit. The resurrected Spirit in us causes us to be led by the Spirit, not by the law, not by the flesh. Isn't that good news? Father, we're thankful to you for the good news. Thank you that your Spirit has been given to us as a gift. Thank you that your Spirit is in us to lead us and to guide us and to cause us to follow you. We thank you that you have saved us. We ask that today, all these words that you've spoken through your word, that they are seed and that the seed is now planted in us, in all of us. And that seed that's planted in all of us, may it bear fruit and grow and come out to be something beautiful and powerful coming from within us that your Holy Spirit brings out of us. Thank you, Father, for loving us that much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are grateful to God for that. We want you to take your songbook, if you will. Get ready to sing this song. Stand with us, and if you have any special requests, you just come and let me know about that. So stand with us, if you will, and let's sing.
Jesus.